begin to express appreciation for your being here. And again, we say it so often, but we say it sincerely. It's just good. It's good to get together. There is an outline on the back of your bulletin this morning, if you'd like to follow along, titled, Some Things That God Cannot Do. Things That God Cannot Do. But first, by way of introduction, establish the fact that there are things that God can do. What can God give you? Four illustrations in the introduction. These are Old Testament stories. The one you're familiar with is Abraham and Sarah. When Abraham was 100 years old, God told him he'd father a child. In Genesis 17, verse 17, it says, Abraham fell on his face and laughed. 100 years old, and you think I'm going to father a child? Well, three strangers came to the house. They repeated the promise to Abraham. Sarah overhears the conversation. And in Genesis 18, verse 12, it says, Sarah laughed when she, within herself, saying, when I'm waxed old, and shall I have pleasure, my Lord also being old in age? And in the midst of all this laughter, God asked Abraham a question. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? A second illustration to show that we serve a can-do God is in the story of Israel in the wilderness in Numbers chapter 11. After they left Mount Sinai and received the Ten Commandments and about 600 more rules and regulations, Israelites complained that the food that God was supplying them every day was not sufficient. They were getting this manna, this light bread, day after day after day, so they complained to Moses. And it says to God in Numbers 11, verse 11, that God, they weep with me. And then they're saying, give us flesh that we may eat. Well, God said back to Moses in Numbers 11, verse 16, I want you to gather 70 of the elders of the people and tell these 70 elders to tell this to the people. So the elders gathered the group together and the elders said, God said, I'll give you flesh to eat. You'll not eat it for one day, and not 2 days, not 5 days, and these numbers are actually in the verse, not 10 days, not 20 days, but for a whole month, you're going to eat flesh until it comes out your nostrils. Moses, in verse 12, begins to debate God, and in so many words, he says, God, can you do that? And then Moses explains to God, there's 600,000 footmen in this group here, and you're going to provide flesh for a whole month for all of these people? God, can you do that? In verse 23, the Lord said to Moses, is the Lord's hand waxed short? Is the Lord's hand waxed short? Third illustration that we serve a can-do God is from the story of Jeremiah. In the story of Jeremiah, God gave Jeremiah Hanamiel's field, a man named Hanamiel. Jeremiah was possible. And after praying to God and talking with the people, God gave that field to Jeremiah. Couldn't believe the miracle. So in Jeremiah 32, verse 8, he says, oh, then I knew that this was the word of the Lord. In verse 17, he says, oh, Lord, you made the heaven and the earth by your great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for you. Nothing too hard for you. The fourth illustration, if you're familiar with the story of the rich young ruler, came to Jesus, and this ruler asked Jesus a question. In Mark chapter 10, verse 17, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What do I need to do? Jesus tested his sincerity by repeating a couple of the commandments. The ruler said, well, I've observed all of those from my youth. Then Jesus says to him, well, one thing. I want you to go your way, and whatever you have, give it to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. And then come, take up your cross, and follow me. Boy shakes his head. Can't do that. And then Jesus teaches a lesson to the disciples. He says how hard it is for them that trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were astonished at Jesus' teaching. The ruler's question. They said among themselves, who then can be saved? Jesus, looking upon them, said, with men it's impossible, but not with God. With God, all things are possible. See, the lesson that we're given this morning is not about a conviction to God's ability. When I say I'm going to give you a lesson on things that God cannot do. See, in the spiritual realm, I put this in your notes, there are some things that God cannot or will not do because they're impossible, because it would violate his character. I can't do that. You can't do it. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2, verse 13, if we believe not, okay, someone says, I don't believe, yet God abides faith. He cannot deny himself. I don't know what that means. So just because I don't believe or someone else does not believe, God still abides faithful. Can't deny himself. You see, there's some things that God cannot or will not do because it's contrary to his nature. So I'm giving you a partial list in your notes. Some things that God cannot or will not do. For example, if I say to Don here, I say, Don, and he can't deny himself. So I say to him, Don, let's go rob a bank. They have lots of money there. Don says, I can't do that. I said, why not? I said, Don, I have everything we need. I have the getaway car, I have the guns, I have the mask, I have everything we need to rob that bank, get the money. And Don says, no, I can't do that. Why not? Why not, Don? Because I can't deny myself. His character, his moral makeup, can't be compromised. So it's the same thing with God. There's some things God cannot do because he will not deny himself. I can't do that. It's against my nature. Saw a bumper sticker that three things on God said it. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. I think, no. You need to reverse those two. God said it. That settles it, whether you believe it or not. Doesn't matter what you believe. Well, it matters. But whether you believe it or not, God is still faithful. God is still God. He's not going to deny himself. So you can deny God. You can live a wretched life, a life in disobedience, but God's not going to do certain things. Against his character, his moral being, his attributes. He can't deny himself. So here's some things that God cannot or will not do. You can see the list. Number one, God cannot or will not lie. Titus chapter 1, verse 2, in hope of eternal life, and that's us, I have hope for eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began. In other words, God will not present a falsehood. You can't lie. God will never have an intent to deceive. God will not present to us an untrue statement. In the Bible, God's word, we have precious promises upon which we can stake our life. And we have that hope of eternal life because God made that a promise. And God will fulfill it because he can't lie. In Romans chapter 4, verse 20. I think I put that one in your notes. In Romans 4, verse 20. Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Abraham said, you know why I'm doing this? You know why I'm going there? You know why I'm making this sacrifice? Because God promised. And I'm not staggering at the promise of God. That's what he said. In Hebrews 10, verse 23, let's hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Why? For he is faithful who promised. He's faithful. So when we do God's will, we can be assured we have the promised blessings that he offers. We can be sure. Because God's faithful. Can't lie. Number two, God cannot or will not leave us. It's Hebrews 13, verse 5. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that you can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I'll not fear what man shall do to me. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I can't say that. A lot of times we might be doing something. I say, oop, time's up. Gotta go. Might be working with someone, and I say, oh, sorry, I can't stay to help you with that last project. Can't do it. I'll leave you. Not necessarily on purpose or with intent, but I don't always keep a promise. I hope something came up. I know I said I would be there, but something came up. I remember when my mother-in-law lived with us. The father-in-law already passed away, but she had dementia and Alzheimer's. And we were by ourselves in the living room, and Wilma, for some reason, just said, don't leave me. I said, Wilma, I'm not going to leave you. And then the phone rings, and I get up to leave and go to the other room to answer the phone. God doesn't go on vacation. Doesn't hang the closed sign, closed on the door. Doesn't have visiting hours. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Can't do that. Can't do it. Number three, God cannot or will not despise a contrite heart. And that's the exact phrase in the verse. In Psalm 51, verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. That's David's prayer of forgiveness. God, you won't despise a broken and contrite heart. Verse 14. It says, God says, if my people, there's a condition, if my people, which are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face in their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin and heal their land. God cannot, will not despise a contrite and broken. In Acts 2, verses 36 and 37, Peter stands up with the 11 and preaches that good news gospel sermon. He says, this Jesus whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. And they heard that. Guilty as charged. We've murdered the Messiah. We've crucified the Christ. The next phrase, cut to the heart. A broken and contrite heart. Cut to the heart. They cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For to you is the promise, and to your children, to all that are far off, even as may the Lord our God shall call. They believed that message. Verse 41 said, those that gladly received his word were baptized. There's some things that God cannot do. He will not despise a contrite heart that comes to him his way. Will not do it. Number four, God won't sleep. Psalm 121, verse 4 is in our text this morning. Behold, he that keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. In Isaiah 40, verse 28.
I put that one in?
Yes. Isaiah 40, verse 28. Hast thou not known? In other words, there's the question. Don't you know? Haven't you heard? That in God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, faints not, nor is weary. See, God, we get weary. You know, we get lack of sleep. Boy, our lives just, I can't keep my eyes open. God doesn't tire, get tired from watching us. No, you don't call me after 9:30, I'm sleeping. Don't do that. Remember a story. Remember a story years ago, Chris and I were celebrating wedding anniversary. I didn't know what to get her. So I'd like to get her something. And so I just kind of asked her, what would you like? She said, oh, I don't know, maybe some, I threw a couple things out there, nice perfume. Okay. So I'm in the perfume department, thrifty drugstore.
Oh, there's more.
So a lady came over and I said, can you help me? And you know, I'd like some nice perfume. She recommended this Midnight Madness perfume. I said, oh, Midnight Madness. Oh, I like that. I like the sound of that. Midnight Madness? So I thought for a moment and I said, you have any 8:30 or 9 o'clock madness? Because you know, I'm not going to be awake at midnight. You know, Christine's going to have some madness about her. I want to be awake. But God doesn't slumber. God doesn't sleep. So I put in your notes too, you know, because God doesn't sleep, we can. Psalm 4, verse 8. I will both lay me down and sleep in peace. For thou, Lord, you only make me dwell in safety. Yeah. But because God does not sleep, I can't. And because God has the whole world in his hands, he has my world in his hands. He doesn't sleep. Doesn't sleep. Number five, God cannot or will not give glory to another. In Isaiah 42, verse 8, I'm the Lord. That's my name. My glory I'll not give to another. Neither my praise I will give to a graven image. I'm not going to do that. In Isaiah 43, verse 11, the prophet says, I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. None other. God. You see, there's some things God's not going to do. Don't give my glory to another. Nobody else can do what I can do. You know, the disciples in John chapter 6 and verse 66, some of the disciples went back, walked no more with Jesus, and Jesus says, will you also go away? Peter said, well, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. There's no other God. God's not going to give his glory to somebody else. He's the way in John 14, verse 6. I'm the way, the truth, the light. No man comes to the Father but by me. See, there's some things God can't do. And I'm not giving my glory and my praise to somebody else. And the last one, God will not forget us. Isaiah 49, verse 15. Can a woman forget her suckling child, that she should not have compassion, or the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, but I'll not forget you. Lamentations 3, verse 22 says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not. God's not going to forget us. God's not going to run out of compassion for us. I forget names. To get appointments. try to have a to-do list. Some things I put on my to-do list that I've already done, just so I can mark something off. But God doesn't forget. He doesn't need a reminder like we do. And last, in 1 Timothy 2, verse 4, God would have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. That's the close. 1 Timothy 2, verse 4. God, what can you do? I can save you. I would have that all men would be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Invitation we extend every time we present a lesson, close of the lesson, an opportunity for you to become a Christian, be baptized for remission of sin, save. God can forgive. You have to come to Him His way. Some things He can't do, but He'll not deny Himself. But He desires that all come to repentance and be saved. Great Commission. Mark chapter 16, verses 15 to 16. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. We strive always to preach a salvation message. If you're subject to that, that's your desire. That's your resolve. We have that opportunity this morning. So let's stand together and sing this elective for us. That's your resolve. If you'd like to obey that this morning, you have this opportunity. Whosoever will may come.